This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's crypto summer, which means it's festival season. At Real Vision, we're getting ready for the next Festival of Learning in partnership with Kraken. It's taking place April 18 and 19, and the theme is Don't F Up Alts, Memes, and NFTs. Yep, there's a big world of digital assets beyond Bitcoin and ETH with lots of opportunity and lots of risk. We'll be bringing a ton of timely and actionable knowledge from speakers including Raul Powell, Sergio Silva, Kevin Kelly, OSF, and more. It's completely free to attend. Just go to realvision.com/festivalofLearning to get the details and save your seat. We'll see you there. Can the stock market withstand higher rates? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. I'm Maggie Lake, and with me today is Tony Greer, editor of the Morning Navigator newsletter and a partner in our marketplace. Hey, Tony.
Hello, Maggie. How you doing?
So we're going old school today, folks. I'm sorry for the delay, but technology is failing Tony Greer today. Rather than not have him, we're going to go old school. And I feel like maybe true to your roots, though, Tony, you're a music guy. I feel like you sort of embrace the life of a DJ.
I've got a face for radio, Maggie. I love it. No problem.
Well, since we do the show all the time with you, we know that's not true. But we're going to rock it today because, listen, there's a lot going on in the market, right? We had Fed Chair Jay Powell speak today. We're at the start of earnings season. Geopolitical tensions running high. So what's top of mind for you as you look across the markets today? What's on your radar?
From 30,000 feet up, you know, we've had 3 weeks of higher yields. We've had 3 weeks of lower NASDAQ prices, 2 weeks of S&P sell-off. Last week, every sector that I watch of the 27 sectors that I follow in the S&P settled in the red last week, which is something that you don't really see too often, but kind of sends a message that, you know, there are sellers out there. The market was overextended. What I'm really just struggling with is that there's no agnostic selling. You know, there's no day where everything has to get sold and the S&P really has to back off much. You know, we're just below the 50-day moving average at 5,100. I feel like we're due for a pullback to about 4,800 or so in the S&P. That would bring us down to the 200-day moving average, shake out a lot of the late longs. It would get the, you know, sentiment from greedy to, you know, a little bit fearful. And those are the kind of washouts that I'm really, really looking to buy. And as long as I can live with higher yields, as long as the curve doesn't go flying away on me. And I'm talking about 210 steepening dramatically, which it absolutely is not. Every move in the curve lately has been across the curve kind of uniformly. And with a stable 210s curve right now, I'm really not afraid to buy a steep equity dip. I just haven't seen one. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. there's nothing is on sale yet, enough for my liking.
Yeah. And to that point, we had Jay Powell come out. We've seen those yields moving higher. Everyone woke up to that strong economic data and it's been pretty consistent. And yeah. Jay Powell came out today and kind of confirmed everyone's fear, saying rates are going to have to stay higher for longer. And yet we saw stocks rally. To your point, we see the major indices, at least last time I checked. I should check again because those last few minutes while we were fighting with your computer are usually pretty telling. But for the most part, and yeah, okay, so they dipped, but it was right at the end. And it's mild. It's not, only yeah. The Dow hung in there. It's not that kind of washout that you might see when you get a sort of sentiment capitulation or at least a short-term one, but you don't have that.
No, man, you know, on a day that NVIDIA is up 1.5%, we're not going to be able to call this a risk-off day. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Semiconductors rallied behind NVIDIA. The big tech stocks are all up. Momentum stocks are back up today. You know, it looks like a market dynamic bounce, quite honestly. Mm. You know, the S&P is in a little bit of technical danger here, like literally right between the 50 and 100-day moving average. You've got the 100-day down at S&P 5K. feels like we've got to test that, but it doesn't feel like we have to test that in sort of one-way train traffic. It feels like we're going to test that the same way that I'm going to sort of look for a dip to buy and remain bullish the S&P. We're going to test lower levels as a function of the largest stocks in the market backing off with higher yields and the smaller stocks in the market, i.e. natural resources, rallying.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the way the market's going to pull back. And that's the way, you know, I'm going to still position to buy the dip and then maybe a little bit sideways. You know, once we find an actual dip where we get stocks on sale, it might take a little while to crawl out of that. But like, you know, there's nothing that's been dramatically on sale enough to get excited. And it's been a very, very slow and orderly pullback. So I kind of expect more of the same. And if I get the S&P below 5K, I'll consider it a gift and I'll start looking sharpening my pencil on my shopping list.
Yeah. One of the dynamic is interesting to watch with bonds. And so we started the show saying, can the stock market withstand higher rates? It sort of depends on what you think is going to happen to rates, right? We're back on that sort of watch. And it's been orderly there, as you said, as well, although yep. It's been pretty consistently creeping up. What's your sense, how worried are you from here? Does it seem like bonds are vulnerable, or does that the move we've seen already kind of price in the fact that we're rolling back those easings?
If you ask me, you know, I understand that we are rolling back the idea of all of those rate cuts last year. We had been as six priced in, and now we're down to a couple. And if then, you know, if we get a couple at that, but if you look at the bond market, you know, just look at the price of the treasury market. If you look at TLT or if you look at, you know, the long bond, whatever it is, they were, you know, we were surfing the moving averages lower, and now there's a big extension lower as rates kind of break range and start heading toward the upper quartile of the rate range, you know, i.e. the sort of lows of the bond market that we saw in the last quarter of last year. When rates were at their high. So it looks like unless we get some kind of easing of CPI, PPI, you know, the headline inflation data, that rates are just going to keep crawling up and commodity, you know, the commodity trade is going to be intact and you want to stay long natural resources. And I think that that's what the market's telling you. You know, I don't think that you have to overthink it too much. I'm not a fan of the people that show up in my feed that ask me when is the equity rug pull happening. I don't think that we're set up for a crash, a rug pull, you know, any dangerous I don't think we're set up for 30 VIX or anything like that, but you know, we'll see what happens, Baggy. I think the market is fairly orderly. I think it's rotating. I think it's slowly reacting to higher yields. And, you know, this can continue. That's all. We're kind of due for a little bit of sideways action in the S&P, a little bit of a rotation. So that's maybe what we can expect.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing. It's crypto summer, which means it's festival season. At Real Vision, we're getting ready for the next Festival of Learning in partnership with Kraken. It's taking place April 18 and 19, and the theme is Don't F Up Alts, Memes, and NFTs. Yep, there's a big world of digital assets beyond Bitcoin and ETH with lots of opportunity and lots of risk. We'll be bringing a ton of timely and actionable knowledge from speakers including Raoul Powell, Sergio Silva, Kevin Kelly, OSF, and more. It's completely free to attend. Just go to realvision.com/festivalofLearning to get the details and save your seat. We'll see you there.
Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. Now the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and saying they're loving it. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, or rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. Invite them to your account at no extra cost, and they'll get their own login info and a joint view of all your finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/vision. That's monarchmoney.com/vision for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah. Interesting that you talk about, and some great questions coming in. I'm going to get to some of them in a second. Interesting you talk about rotation, because we saw something crossing right now. United Airlines results top estimates despite the $200 million hit from Boeing. United Healthcare did well despite a major cybersecurity issue. What are you looking at in terms of sectors, and are we going to see, you know, I think that we've seen that sort of thought that we'll get a rotation, and then sometimes we just see big tech come back again. Does it feel like there is going to be a rotation in certain areas? What looks attractive to you?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited that the home construction market and home builders are pulling back. You know, they've been in a secular bull market. We got some weak economic housing data today, which finally sort of tipped home construction over with higher yields. You know, so I'm hoping for that to continue and get, you know, a pullback to the 200-day in a sector like that, but I think it's in a secular bull market and really not that phased by higher yields. You know, you buy home construction on a dip when yields are at their highs. And, you know, once you get that sort of relief that CPI isn't going to be a runaway train and the economy isn't going to be a runaway train and rates back off, then you have the home construction sector come to life again. And so I'm really liking the setup there. And I'm really liking the breakout to new all-time highs in exploration and production stocks, Maggie. You know, I think you have to respect that with, you know, oil near, you know, kind of hanging around its highs. Today, we've got the pullback in XLE to the breakout zone. But with oil kind of sitting on its highs here, you know, the threat today came out of Biden selling SPR again. And I guess he's got very little left to sell there. But to me, that's a really bullish thing once we empty out our SPR and really show how vulnerable the Biden administration is going to make our country. You know, that's going to be a really, really big tell, and it'll be important to see how the market takes that.
Yeah. Were you looking at financials at all? Because, of course, banks are the first ones out of the gate here.
Yeah. You know, they've been weak, right, Maggie? It's been interesting to see JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs reported. The stocks are still dragging a little bit. The sector looks like it's having an orderly pullback. Just like everything else. And, you know, that's probably something I would, you know, kind of treat like home construction, where you can buy the dip while rates are raging. And then, you know, if rates soften up a bit, the financials will get back on their feet. But, you know, I'm not really sure. That's not a sector that I really love trafficking in. I'm much more comfortable in natural resources with a little bit more of an edge, you know?
Yeah. This is a great question from G. Blackburn. Is the risk off long treasury trade dead? So is, you know, the idea of treasuries as a safe haven, you know, and I think people, a lot of people were looking at this when we had those headlines crossed over the weekend that were pretty terrifying at first. You know, it was contained by the time the market rolled in Monday. But is that no longer the case, that long treasury trade, Tony?
You know, that's a very fair question, because, you know, it's really difficult to tell how the market is pricing geopolitical, global political risk, I like to say. It's really hard to tell, right? You know, there's been no flight to safety in the treasury market, right, that we used to see in days of old whenever there was any kind of, you know, kinetic activity on the TV screens kind of thing. So we're not seeing that, but that's a function of the U.S. Treasury market backing off because the whole world is really wise at our, you know, runaway spending now. And it seems like, you know, that's going to be a weight to the Treasury market, where the gold market looks like that's the one. And maybe Bitcoin is the one that's waking up whenever there is, you know, an issue overseas or, you know, an issue with economic data or something like that. So it's a little bit tricky. It's tough to tell. You know, I feel like gold has taken the lead in the kind of like we're screwed securities, you know, when you want to express, you know, a fade against what's going on politically or something like that. It's like reach for the gold stocks and reach for gold right now, rather than, you know, just buy treasuries in a flight to safety rally. So, Yeah, I mean, I'm not going after. I'm short treasuries right now, so I think rates can still go a little bit higher, and that's how I'm positioned. So.
Yeah, and we do, you know, we have some folks out there really concerned and putting, you know, we know some people have been talking about 5%. I saw a forecast for 6.5%, which is obviously on the outside, you know, high end of that. But yeah, there's a lot of concern. And G Blackburn, if you didn't catch my conversation with Jacob and Marco yesterday, there's a lot of concern. One of the risks they're both really worried about, Marco in particular, is a bond market riot, you know, the sort of Fed and Treasury losing control of the bond market and yields moving higher regardless of what they do. And I've you know, we're starting to see a lot more concern about that bubble up, and not so much in mainstream media, but among some really smart analysts and newsletters I've been reading. So doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it just means that's on the radar. And I know,
Totally
you know,
fair.
yeah, and that and I know the same with you, Tony. You got to kind of pop up and pay attention when people start talking about stuff like that. Question about, so Mitt's speaking of gold, asking when is this gold rally going to end? And sort of, you know, what's been driving it. I think Tony just pointed out some of it has been, you know, that maybe in a world where it's hard to find a place to hide and there's a lot of cross currents, gold has been benefiting and a lot of people are worried about currency debasement. But a lot of people sort of have ridden that and are looking to get out. We talked about that last time, right? When it's rallying and everyone's looking for the exit. Mitt's asking when's it going to end, and Dan saying, Tony, gold and silver, DMARC 13, is it time to take off the gold trade, or with war and inflation, will they defy gravity and keep plowing upward?
Well, Maggie, I got to say that gold to me looks like it's in its own world, right? It's a secular breakout. It's breaking out against a roofing dollar, right? I think you have to respect the fact that the dollar index literally will not back off the highs for one moment, and neither will gold, right? So that's why gold is like in its own world now. And I think you run into trouble looking for a correlation to something else. You know, people asking when is the gold rally going to end? I mean, I don't have any reason why it should. You know, it feels like we've got technical tailwinds, we've got the tailwinds of runaway spending that seems to be going. It seems like the spending is going higher, or you know, we're spending faster as time goes on. You know what I mean? Like it's just accelerating and accelerating. So I feel like gold can continue. You know, silver's a little bit sketchier where it just traded right to the old highs here. And so maybe that's a sale. And I've been a believer that silver has been along for the ride and not really where the actual trade is the whole time. But, you know, I'm rooting for silver to go up just like anything else. I mean, I'm long physical metal. I don't have a trading position on my pad. I do have gold on my pad. And so I'm focusing on that because that's at all-time highs and won't back off. So, you know, when you see that price action that we saw last week where, you know, everybody is high-fiving in gold above 2,400. We get a spike top on gold where it goes 2,400, 2,430, and then backs off to 2,350, right? Has a big pullback like that and then doesn't curl over. To me, that's a sign that gold is absolutely not going down. Like, I think, you know, in my opinion, we see gold at 3K, you know, way before we see gold below 2K. Kind of thing. So I think it's got a lot of legs, and I don't see any reason for it to stop at all.
Super interesting. I love asking you when you come on about your Slack channel, because for your so the subscribers of the Morning Navigator, you have a Slack channel, a kick in Slack channel that you guys do. What's been some interesting incoming? What are people most concerned about, or sentiment, or are they looking for opportunity? Because it feels like we're in that volatility again, and you know that always either it gets people scared or it has them looking. What's the sentiment you're picking up?
Scared is accurate. I think scared is accurate because we just started a World War III channel in my Slack channel because all the headlines, unfortunately, you know, you got to bucket them somewhere and you wind up clogging up, you know, the trading channels with, you know, relevant information about, you know, geopolitical events that you have to be following right now, right? I mean, if you're trading oil, if you're trading gold, if you're trading a single commodity or stocks, you have to have an eye on what's going on between Iran and Israel. You know, and while over the weekend it looked like a lot of coordinated showtime, it looked like a lot of, saber rattling. It looked like a lot of in advance warnings of attacks. And if you know, the reality is that's not how real attacks take place,
right?
Is that nobody gets an advance warning when it's a real attack.
Right.
So there's skepticism about what's going on. There's real concern that things can get a lot worse. You know, it's another, you hate to bring it in, Maggie, but it's another case of, you know, a politician with imploding public approval that's starting another war to change the subject. You know, it's just where we are. And it looks like it's going to get a lot worse toward the end of his term.
Yeah. You're talking about Netanyahu, right? I'm joking. I know you're talking about
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about Benjamin. I'm talking about the guy in El Salvador, Maggie.
That's so interesting. And we're right there with you, Tony. I mean, we started out with shows on bookending the beginning of this week on geopolitics, because it was that kind of weekend. And you do. And these have huge macroeconomic implications and implications for the markets. They always do, but particularly right now. So you have to pay attention to it. But that is so telling and terrifying that you actually look at a channel that's called that right now. It's like, talk about sign of the times, man.
And it's, you know, it's not something we want to be doing, you know, like we don't want to be talking about this. We don't want this interfering in our trading world. You know, you don't really want to trade through a global conflict like that with people dying alongside the trades that you're putting on. You know, it's an unpleasant event. But it's the world that we live in right now, unfortunately. And like we said before this administration comes to an end, it looks like we're going to see a lot more of it.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As we said, we're gonna stay on that, on the geopolitical and mop it up. And we had so much to get through. Samuel sat down with Dee Smith today for another installment, just taking a look at both the situation, but also sort of broadening it out. We talked a lot about the U.S. election with Jacob and Marco yesterday. I know Samuel and Dee touched on China, which is the elephant in the room, always in the geopolitical conversations. So be sure to check that out on the platform. I know a bunch of you have recently come over from YouTube, so welcome. This is the kind of stuff that you can access once you get on the platform and not just viewing it from YouTube. So we're psyched about that. And also, while you're navigating around, for those who would like to subscribe to Tony's newsletter and get access to that great Slack conversation he has all the time, you can find an easy link to do that in our marketplace, where you also get a discount if you're an RV member. So be sure to check that out. Tony, we have a couple people asking about uranium. I feel like we always have people asking about uranium, but specifically when you're on, because I know you watch the commodity space. But both Roger and Doug saying, have uranium miners washed out enough to start adding?
It's a good question. You know, there's a big pullback in uranium today in the last couple of days, and judging where they failed on the upside, the uranium miners, I'm going to say that no, I would rather see a little bit of a steeper pullback than this, quite honestly. You know, URA is trading around 28, but it's with a double top at 32. In the rearview mirror. So it looks like this thing can trade down to its 200-day moving average around 26 and three quarters, 27, and I'm talking about URA. Obviously, the uranium bulls are getting a little bit of religion, because the commodity that they swore could not possibly pull back is now pulling back, right? So all of a sudden, you know, the cure for high prices was, guess what? High prices.
There's a reason those chestnuts exist, right?
Yeah, there's a lesson. There's a lesson for the uranium bulls, right? You know, it's like, guess what? I know there's no uranium, but it doesn't mean that the price can't go down, right? You know, and so there's a little bit of a pullback in uranium, spot uranium, pullback in spot Sprott Uranium Trust, pullback in the miners. And it just looks to me like the miner bulls are trapped in a situation where, you know, they're in the miners because they expected uranium to go up forever. And they're going to learn that if uranium doesn't go up forever, then uranium miners have downside risk and lots of it.
Mm.
Right. So it's like, that's how I see it playing out, Maggie. And if physical uranium, which is the trade that I'm in and not the miners, if physical uranium pulls back further, I'm interested in buying that. If uranium miners pull back further, I've got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit worried. You know, I don't know where I would dig into that trade just because they look later. The chart looks different. URA chart does not look like a uranium chart.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it really is, right? And when you noticed a long time ago that, you know, spot uranium was sailing higher and higher through the third quarter and first quarter of 2024, and the miners were not making a new high, you know, you have to respect the, you know, you have to have more respect for the commodity there, and you have to be skeptical about the miners when they can't keep up.
Yeah.
And then if there's a situation when there's a sell-off in the metal, which has been leading the trade, then you have to think, man, these miners are probably vulnerable on the downside because it doesn't look like anybody really got out of them.
Yeah.
And if there's a big pullback in the price of uranium, they're going to have to get out of the miners. So I'm looking for a much steeper washout. I think that market is still long and wrong right now.
In the miners. Yeah. You know, we've been talking a lot about gold. Are you in the you're in the gold commodity, not the miners there too? Is it a similar situation or is that completely different?
Exactly the same situation, Maggie. Mm-hmm. You know, look at gold miners. Gold miners aren't trading all-time highs, are they? Absolutely not. Newmont is the same price it was when I was in high school, and nobody cares. Nobody cares, right? Yeah, I mean, the gold bugs care, and that's fine, but the trade is gold. Gold is trading all-time high. Central banks, there are no central banks buying gold stocks. So if you want to be in the trade that's going on, be in the metal, similar to uranium. You know, that's where the story is. That's where the shortage is. There's no shortage of mining companies. There's no shortage of mining stocks. There's no shortage of regulations that they have to deal with to pull metal out of the ground. There's no shortage of geopolitical risk that they have. There's no shortage of increasing input costs that they have. Like, the miners have a tough road to hoe with gasoline prices exploding and energy prices so as bit as they are. So, you know, I just don't have any interest in owning the companies that are going to struggle with everything else around the gold market except gold. So the only thing that gold miners have going for them is what they pull out of the ground. You know what I mean? It just doesn't get me excited to be in that trade, while the gold trade does get me very excited to be in. There's a 500,000 contracts of open interest that can go up to 600,000-700,000 if we see any real speculation pile into this market. Total ETF assets still on the decline, and yet the price of gold is going higher. So this is very much an Eastern-led physical rally in gold right now. And I think that that's something that's really important to pay attention to. Those paper smashes that we had seen time and time again over the years, you just haven't seen those in the mornings, right? There is no 8 o'clock to 8:15 wreck the gold market algo like we used to see, you know, in days past. And so the gold market is very different to me. And that's why I'm trying to pay attention to the metal, because that's what's changing.
Yeah. Nick has a question about copper as well. Copper's been strong up until the Iran-Israel news. Are you tracking copper at all, Tony?
Yeah. You know, copper is the sleeper trade. You know, copper is the trade that lulled everybody to sleep for 2021 and 2022. It sold off. And 2023, it's been sideways. It was sideways. And 2024, it can't get out of its own way. But it's got the same story of, you know, the expanding electronic vehicle market, the expansion of battery power, you know, the draw on copper as a industrial metal with low inventories and things like that. And so the bull story has been there, but the price just wouldn't cooperate. And, you know, here we are at prices that we've seen now for the same prices we've been looking at for 4 years. We're just closer to the top of the range. So, yeah, it looks like the case is being made again that copper can go up. And whether or not it goes and trades to the highs of 11K, I mean, I don't know, but at least it's breaking out and making some progress there. So, yeah, I think you have to at least respect copper and respect that it could go after lulling people to sleep for 3 years now.
That's
why I've got it
on the radar. Good one to put on the radar.
100%.
Awesome stuff. Tony, thank you for hanging tough with us and doing audio. Sorry the tech gremlins were raging around today.
Thank you, Maggie, for bearing with me. I'm so sorry that this happened. I was trying to get connected from 3:45 and I couldn't even get the computer to recognize my camera. So we'll figure it out.
you know what? And then tomorrow you'll turn it on. It'll work perfectly. It's a
yeah,
mystery
like nothing
to
ever
all
happened.
Of us.
Right. Exactly. Welcome to technology.
Exactly. All right. Listen, great stuff. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you the same time tomorrow. Take care and good luck out there.
It's crypto summer, which means it's festival season. At Real Vision, we're getting ready for the next Festival of Learning in partnership with Kraken. It's taking place April 18 and 19, and the theme is Don't F Up Alts, Memes, and NFTs. Yep, there's a big world of digital assets beyond Bitcoin and ETH with lots of opportunity and lots of risk. We'll be bringing a ton of timely and actionable knowledge from speakers including Raul Powell, Sergio Silva, Kevin Kelly, OSF, and more. It's completely free to attend. Just go to realvision.com/festivalofLearning to get the details and save your seat. We'll see you there.